Now we have 40 years of dialogue, the whole pile of documents, and we do not want that they become dusty in bookshelves, but that they are received in the living body of our churches. And so we made a summary in order to facilitate the reception process. And the second point is, now is a new generation coming up after 14 years. They have to take over the torch, and they should not start again from the scratch. We will show to him, well, we can achieve something by the dialogue, and we achieved a lot more than I thought before, and they should build up on this basis we have already reached. And for this reason, we did not only in a triumphalistic way say what we have achieved, but we identified also the open questions. And a question once identified is already half of the solution.
You talk indeed about many of the outstanding problems. You also talk about the crux of the ecumenical question. What goal are we working towards? Visible unity, yes, but what does this mean? You talk about unity and diversity.
Yes, it's the crux of the problem, because we have different ecclesiologies. And because we have different ecclesiologies, we have different theories about the goal of unity, and there is no neutral position. I can only explain the Catholic position, that's full communion and full sharing in faith, in the sacraments, and also in apostolic ministry, but this can be done only by degrees and by steps. So we are already in a fundamental communion with the other churches coming out from the Reformation of the 16th century. And so the Church of Christ is already in an effective way present in them. There is no ecclesiological vacuum outside the Catholic Church, and the subsisted in may not be understood in this wrong way, but the full presence is, as we say, only in the Catholic Church. This does not mean that in the Catholic Church are no deficiencies. So ecumenical dialogue means sharing of gifts, exchange of gifts, and it's a learning process from all sides. And so it's a process not go back to the 16th century. It's impossible to go back in church history. But it's a process forward towards Christ. And if we are united in Christ, we'll be united also among ourselves.
You're stressing, therefore, that the Church of Christ also exists outside the boundaries of the Catholic Church. And yet, as you know, the debate around this term, subsisted in, continues to cause a lot of interest. Many people, as you know, would not see it that way. To them, ecumenism means a return to Rome.
Yes, it's true. There was a lot of uneasiness in the last years, and a lot of conflict also about this formula. But if we take it in the context of the Council, the formula has two meanings. First of all, a full realization of the Church of Christ into the Catholic Church. But there are elements, and it means important elements, also outside the Church. Both truths are to be seen, and Pope John Paul II said, to that degree, these elements are already present. The Church of Christ, in an effective way, is present also outside. And so it's a differentiated interpretation we have to give, and we do it in accordance with the encyclical letter of John Paul II, Ut Unum Sint. But of course, this will remain a crux. There are different understandings. That's the reason why we are divided, and now we have to discuss this point. Of course, yeah, our partners will explain how they understand it, and then we must come to a sharing and to a discussion. And it's a way to go together. There are not fixed standpoints, but we have to go on. We can also talk about a pilgrimage towards full communion.
Cardinal Casper, you also say that mistakes were made in the publication of the document Dominus Iesus. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that's a question of language all the time. It's a doctrinal language. The Congregation for Doctrine of Faith uses normally. I could imagine a language which does not water down the doctrine, but is more acceptable, more accessible to the other churches. And this is, for me, the main leg. It's a Catholic doctrine which is expressed in this document, but it can be expressed in a different way. And especially, we should not always talk what the other do not have. So we should say what we have and what we have to give to the others, and what we that we expect also their gifts. And so I think it's more dialogical style I would want in such documents.
You talk also about deficiencies within the Catholic Church and the need for gifts to be received from other churches. What do you understand mainly by this?
Well, first of all, we are a church to which belong also sinners. And we all are sinners, and this means deficiencies in the realization of the Church of Christ. And the second point is, by the division, there were also some aspects we have not lost, but a little bit forgotten and overshadowed. Especially, we have learned from the Protestant Church the importance of the Word of God. We received many things from their Bible studies. We can receive from the Anglican Communion about their understanding of the comprehensiveness of the Church and of conciliarity or synodality. And so it's a mutual learning from both sides to reach to the fullness of Jesus Christ.
You also know that it's often said there are varying views within the Vatican itself on this ecumenical question.
Yeah, of course, we are human beings, and human beings have always different views. That's normal. It's not a weakness, it's a richness, and we are in discussion among others, but it's differences. These are differences on the basis of common Catholic faith, of course. But then we can have different options, different aspects. And this is the reason why I sent this document in the Italian translation to all superiors of the other dicasteries, and they were very hopeful. And also the Holy Father reacted in a very positive way. He quoted it even in his catechesis of Wednesday. And so I think this document helps also in the Roman Curia.